Holy Spirit. When you hear that name, you could have a number of different reactions based on your personal experience. Some of you are going to feel maybe a little weirded out. Some of you are going to feel really distant from him. Some of you are going to be very excited to learn more about this mysterious person of the Trinity, an essential part of the Christian doctrine. Some of you might think of the lady on Family Feud. Holy Spirit, activate. Listen to the episode if you find yourself in any of these. I just have a strong feeling that you will walk away feeling very encouraged at the end of this conversation. Here we go. Welcome to the Faith School Podcast. This podcast is for women of faith who are ready to be transformed from the inside out, integrate their life in faith, and to begin a life on mission. This practical podcast is not just a list of how-tos, but it's here to prompt you to take action and adopt the kingdom way of life, surrender to a holy God. My name is Leah, and I'm joining you in the messy middle of a surrendered faith. Come on in, take a seat. Class is now in session. To those of you who are new to the podcast, welcome. And to my old faithfuls, welcome back after our Christmas holidays. And to our Back to Basics series. This series has been such a joy to produce for you guys. To be able to share this content with you has been, honestly, I have loved this series so, so much. We've had some really incredible conversations, some really deep, we said it's basics, it's like, no, but we're still pushing it and we're still going deep into some of these topics. And I am just so grateful for all the people that have been listening in every episode and who are just being taken back to the beginning of our faith, to some of those basics of our faith so that we can be stronger in the kingdom. It's been amazing. And did you know we only actually have two more episodes after this one? So we have Jeannie and we have Rebecca Friedlander and then we have Jeremy Jenkins and then we are wrapping up. And that is going to be it. Not only that, but it is going to be the last few episodes before we take a little bit of a break. We're actually going to be doing something a little bit different, and we're going to be taking a couple month break and coming back in April because we are going to be starting a new semester. So we have decided to do things just a little bit different where we're going to bring you a semester and it's going to be themed. And we're going to do about 3 months on and then 2 months off. Just making sure that, you know, we can be rejuvenated, that we can be taking the time to do some other things with the ministry that we would like to be able to do. And because we're a small team, this just feels like a great fit for us. And I'm really actually very excited about some of the ideas that we have and the concept that we have for our next semester. It is going to be so good. So I am so excited for you to listen in on what we have coming. And if you don't want to miss anything, make sure that you join our newsletter. The link is in the bio, and you can follow us on Instagram at FaithSchoolPod so that you don't miss anything else. I think I am still going to be pretty active on those platforms in particular, so make sure that you join us on there so you don't miss a thing. All right, today we have Jeannie Cunyon on, and she's going to be talking to us about the Holy Spirit. And like I mentioned before, no matter where you are on the spectrum when it comes to the Holy Spirit, I really think that you're going to find a home here on this episode. I don't want to waste any more time. She is such a blessing to have on, so let's listen in. Welcome, Jeannie, to Faith School. I'm so honored that you are here to spend a little bit of time with us today to talk about the Holy Spirit. This is a back to basics concept that I feel like we do need to get in touch with again.
Right. And we don't tend to think about him as basic, but he is. You're so right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I would love if you just would jump in, tell us what are some of your roles right now and where are you recording from?
Some of my roles. All right. Well, I'm recording from Old Greenwich, Connecticut, and I'm from the South, but we live here in New England. Mm. And my husband and I have 5 boys. So I'm a mom, I'm a wife, I'm a mom to boys who range from kindergarten to college.
Wow.
I know. and so I'm always grocery shopping or ordering takeout, quite frankly, let's be honest. I'm notorious for burning food in the kitchen. And one of my other roles, I am an adoption social worker by training. That's my background and training. I have a master's in social work and worked in the adoption field for a long time before I felt the Lord really leading me to start writing, which is never something I imagined doing. Mm-hmm. Grew up loving to write, but never envisioned it being something that I kind of did as a, you know, as ministry and work. Mm-hmm. And so I've been writing now for about, 9 years. So I'm an author and a speaker. And I just am really passionate about speaking about the grace of God, the power of God's Spirit, and just the friend we have in Jesus. Mm-hmm. So those are some of my roles right now.
I love that. I love that. All right. So we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit, but I think that a lot of us have a bit of an origin story with like how we start discovering him and all that. So I would love to hear, what is your story with the Holy Spirit and what has your relationship been like with him in the past?
Yeah. I love that you brought that up because I do think so much of how we interact or don't interact with the Holy Spirit is significantly based on what we experience in the past, mm-hmm. what we've been taught in the past. And we kind of bring those either truths or misconceptions into the present. So I was raised as a preacher's kid. And so it was a Presbyterian church, but it was actually a charismatic church. And so the Holy Spirit has not been foreign to me. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit opened the eyes of my heart to the love of Jesus when I was 8. Wow. And so I have been following Jesus for a long time, although very much stumbling along and falling on the grace and mercy of God daily. Mm-hmm. And so for me growing up, in many ways, the Holy Spirit, I put him in a box. I put him in the spiritual gifts box. Mm-hmm. That the Holy Spirit was for the gifts of the Spirit and for the fruit of the Spirit. And that was pretty much the extent of his role in the Christian life. Mm-hmm. You know, I recited all the creeds. I believed in the equality of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our triune God. But I did not understand or appreciate the magnitude of the Holy Spirit's role in the daily life of the Christian. Mm-hmm. And so I think I lived a lot of my life like a lot of Christians do, which is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit was more of a, you know, Francis Chan asked the question, if I have Jesus, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. And I think that's in many ways how I lived my life, not afraid of him, but not certain about, you know, what really significant role he played in my life. If I have Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. If I have Jesus, mm-hmm. I have everything I need. Yeah. I mean, as we know, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. And so it's this interesting thing where it's like, well, yeah, you need the Holy Spirit because you can't do the Christian life without the power of Christ. Mm-hmm. So we'll get into that in a second, but I think it's important to think about how we're raised and, you know, what we've heard about the Holy Spirit and how that impacts our posture toward him now, because I think our posture radically changes when we recognize him as an incredibly priceless and precious gift that is given to us at the very moment that we put our trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot of Christians today who don't even realize that at the moment they put their trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit took up residence in them and wants to get to work on our behalf. And so I think a lot of Christians today, and not even Christians, just people in general, have the assumption that the Holy Spirit is really just for the extremes, that he is either for the super spiritual or the super strange.
Yeah.
And so you either have to be a preacher or a teacher or somebody who's gotten so close to God that you've earned access to his Spirit, which is one misconception, or on the very other end of the spectrum, it's that you have to be super strange.
Yeah.
That only people who do strange things in his name acknowledge the Holy Spirit because of how we've seen the Holy Spirit used and abused for people's fame, for people's financial profit, for people's glory. And so those who wouldn't categorize themselves as super spiritual or super strange go, well, then what relevance does he have in my life?
Yeah.
And then I do think there's the third category, which is, I just don't know what he was sent to do me in my life. Right? Yeah. That maybe you're not intentionally avoiding him, but maybe a little bit like me, you just didn't know all of the unbelievably glorious benefits of welcoming the Holy Spirit's presence in your life and staying in step with him and being led by him. I think a lot of us just don't know because we haven't been talking about it in our churches. We are now. It's incredible how much more we are talking about the significance of the Holy Spirit, but for a long time we haven't. And so I think a lot of Christians just don't know that he lives inside of them and that all that he was given to do on their behalf.
Yeah. And I, you know, I think you probably answered some of my next question, which was just, you know, why do we feel so awkward talking about the Holy Spirit? Why is he even controversial if he's such a gift? Mm-hmm. And so if there is anything else that you would add to that, Jeannie, because I think you've definitely covered some of it, but I'm wondering if there's more that you'd want to share.
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that if we're just going to be really honest, I think one of the things that people ask about the Holy Spirit is you know, is he going to make me weird?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, let's just say it because we have seen weird things done in his name that are not of him. I wholeheartedly believe in spiritual gifts, but it's when people abuse those gifts, use those gifts that then it's understandable. While somebody would say, well, isn't he weird? And if I welcome his work in my life, he's going to make me weird. And I don't want to be weird. I like having friends, you know? I mean, I joke that, you know, the title of my book is Don't Miss Out. And I joke that I could have easily named it How to Lose Friends and Not Make New Ones, because, you know, where I live, there's not a big culture of Christians. So the topic of the Holy Spirit makes things awkward for a lot of people because of what you and I are talking about. And so when people would say, well, Jeannie, what's your next book about? And I would say, well, it's about daring to believe life is better with the Holy Spirit. Like, wah, wah. You know, like, okay, weirdo. And honestly, I think it is a brilliant smear campaign on behalf of the enemy. I think he has done a brilliant job of making people fear the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God is the power of God.
Yeah.
And so if we are afraid of the Holy Spirit, if we are keeping the Holy Spirit at arm's length, then what's happening is we are trying to live the Christian life without the power of Christ. So we put our trust in Jesus. God puts his Spirit in us. We don't know that, or we're afraid to live and allow that power to be activated in our lives. And so now we try to walk out the Christian life. We try to strengthen ourselves. We try to sanctify ourselves. We try to sustain ourselves in our own strength.
Yeah.
And so why are there so many Christians who have a dull faith, a dry faith? Why are there so many Christians who feel so discouraged? Why are there so many Christians who fear God is disappointed in them? I think all of these things can, in one way or another, be traced back to a lack of activity, lack of leaning in to the Spirit of God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, something that I feel like God has challenged me with in the last year, I clearly remember an impression on me of just, Leah, are you trying to replace the Holy Spirit? It was just so powerful for me to hear that and be like, you know what? I think I have been. I think I've been trying to do this more on my own than I have been trying to invite him to do the work in me and through me, instead of it being, well, what do you want me to do? It's Holy Spirit, how are you going to use me? How am I just going to be a vessel for what you already want to accomplish? Anyway, it was just a very powerful moment. It just reminds me a lot of that journey of, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Well, because I need him to do this on my behalf. I can't do this on my own.
That's right.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really familiar battle for a lot of us, including me, right? Because, you know, in Galatians 5, where Paul writes, let the Holy Spirit guide your life, then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. Because these two forces are always battling each other, the flesh and the spirit.
Yeah.
And so what you're describing is that battle. It's the flesh going, I got this. I can do this. I can fix myself. I can purify myself. I can get better. I can self, right?
Yeah.
Self-help. Yeah. I will help myself. And God is going, but I gave you spirit help. You don't have to settle for self-help. I gave you spirit help. But the flesh is never going to stop fighting for position and authority.
Yeah.
Right. It's that battle that we will encounter our whole lives, the flesh and the spirit. And so the question for us on a daily basis is, am I yielding to the spirit, or am I following the flesh? But the flesh is never going to stop fighting, because the enemy is determined to see us, you know, try to walk out our salvation in our own strength.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, I think that leads nicely to my next question, which is, you know, how do we know that we have him really living in us? You know, back to the very basics, Holy Spirit being part of the Trinity, how do we know that we have him living in us? And how can we know that he's not just an accessory in our faith, but he's essential?
Yeah. So like you said, back to the basics, the Holy Spirit is God, right? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is equal, and he is equally essential. So he is not like, it's not like God the Father, God the Son. And then if you want to dabble in God the Spirit, like scripture makes it very clear from Genesis 1 that the Spirit was hovering over the waters, that from the beginning of time, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have been a triune God, working in perfect accordance, you know, together in unity.
Yeah.
But then you get to this, well, he's also God the Spirit, but he's also the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not only God, he is a person. He is a divine person. So when you say person, what does that mean? Divine person means he has a mind, he has a will, and he has emotions. And we can look at individual scriptures for each one of those where the Holy Spirit has a mind, like you have a mind. He has a will, like you have a will. He has emotions. We can grieve him like we have emotions. And so when we think about it that way, then we realize the Holy Spirit is not just an it.
Yeah.
He's not just a force. He's not a power, right? It's not like God gives you this power. It's like, no, God gives you the person of the Holy Spirit who manifests his power in your life. Mm-hmm. But you don't just get this power to go off and wield on your own. And that's why we have so many misconceptions about the Holy Spirit. But if we think of him as an it, which he's often referred to, or sometimes we reduce him to some of those beautiful symbols by which he is represented in scripture, right? Mm-hmm. Fire, wind, water, all beautiful symbols that have significant meaning, but he is not those things. He is God, the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And yet in some mysterious, beautiful way, that person takes up residence inside of us. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ lives in us. And scripture is abundantly clear that so to answer your question, how do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? The way you have the Holy Spirit is by putting your trust in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the disciples preach this so abundantly in the book of Acts. But we see this woven throughout scripture in the New Testament. You know, when you put your trust in Jesus, you are united to Christ through the Holy Spirit. He is the seal of salvation. He is your guarantee of your adoption. And so if you're worried or wondered, well, do I have the Holy Spirit? Well, if you've put your trust in Jesus at this very moment, God took up residence, God's personal presence. You know, think about the Holy Spirit that way. It is God's personal, what a miracle, what a gift, what an unbelievable privilege to have God's Spirit living inside of you. So if you put your trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And this is another beautiful thing. He will never leave you. He is incapable of leaving you. Mm. There is no way that he can depart from you. Mm. He is forever with you. He is the guarantee. He is the down payment of what you will inherit, the glorious benefits of your inheritance in Christ. And so you never have to fear losing him, which is incredible, right? Now you can grieve him. You can quench him. You can impede his work in your life, but you can never make him leave you.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And so, and if you haven't put your trust in Jesus, then the way to enjoy and know the personal presence of God is by welcoming the work of Christ, by saying yes to what Jesus Christ, God, the Son did to rescue you and reconcile you to God. And so you think about like in the book of Acts, where the disciples were performing miracles in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Simon comes to them and he says, I want this power. What can I do to get this power? How much do I need to pay to get this power? And they rebuked him and said, you know, and set him straight and said, Simon, this isn't a power you get access to. You can't buy this. No amount of wealth, no amount of fame can gain you the precious privilege of God's Spirit taking up residence inside of you. Yeah. This is only for those who put their trust in the work of Jesus Christ. So I think about how radically I said this earlier, but I want to say it again, how much our posture would change toward the Holy Spirit if we thought about it that way.
Yeah.
Instead of like, you know, what's he going to do to me? Or will he make me weird? Or why do I even need him? Or what relevance does he have in my life? Or instead of going, oh my gosh, what an incredible gift that God's Spirit takes up residence inside of me. And like 2 Peter says, by his divine power, God gives us everything we need to live a godly life. Everything, not some things. And his divine power is the person of the Holy Spirit. So basically 2 Peter is saying, through the person of the Holy Spirit, God has given us everything we need to walk out this Christian faith, everything we need to pursue the person of Christ. He's given it to us in the Holy Spirit. we can't, like you said, we cannot do this on our own. Mm-hmm. We do not bring a whole lot to the table as much as we want to pretend we do, right? It's fun to drink out of mugs that tell us we're boss babes and to flex our muscles and to repeat some mantras that, you know, help us feel strong in the moment. And I'm not, you know, those are fun things to do, but at the end of the day, the really honest will admit that that only gets us so far.
Yeah.
We can only get ourselves so far. We are sinful. We are fallen. We are limited. We have weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so we can get ourselves where we weren't before. I believe that, right? There's willpower that will get us to a place we weren't before, but willpower is significantly less powerful than spirit power.
Yeah.
So we're relying on willpower when God has given us spirit power. So if we want to do some behavior modification, great. If you want radical heart life transformation, that's going to take the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's something I have to learn over and over again. You know, I'm so quick to fall back into willpower and doing it on my own, and even as a parent or a spouse, you know, thinking that we have to fix our spouse, we have to fix our kids and we have to fix ourselves. We're fixers, right? Yeah. And God goes, no. I freed you from fixing yourself. I have freed you from fixing your spouse. I have freed you from fixing your kids.
Yeah.
That's the Holy Spirit's job. Back to your point of, you know, we kind of try to replace the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. So we try to do his role in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And that's where we get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's, you think about that. We've been freed from fixing ourselves and our kids. Doesn't mean we don't have to take active steps toward discipleship and healthy, wise living, right? Mm-hmm. But that heart transformation is only possible through the sanctification of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's so good. I'm really, really glad you said that, because that's actually something that I've almost struggled with this podcast, because this podcast is meant to be really practical. Like, we really want to give a lot of the how of faith, but there's only so much that we can do on our own. Like, really has to be, you know, you have to decide to take the steps, but it all has to be kind of like energized or powered through the Holy Spirit. And in order to do the work that he's actually called you to do, or to have the disciplines that he's called you to do, or whatever the case is, you know, we talk a lot about the things to do on here. And I've really struggled with, you know, I really want to make it clear. These are things that we can do to make space for God. Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe he does call us to active kingdom work. So we need to talk about that, but it has to be accompanied by the Holy Spirit. And so, yeah, I'm always trying to find the balance in that conversation. So I'm really, really glad that you said that.
Yeah. I mean, and to your point of active kingdom work, you know, and so for example, if you think about what Jesus said, right? Because this gets to your point of kind of the more practical, right? So Jesus is preparing his disciples for his ascension.
Yeah.
And he's telling them, I'm going to send the helper, and it is better for you that I go, because if I don't go, the Holy Spirit won't come. And if I do go, the Holy Spirit will come.
Right.
And the disciples were filled with sorrow, scripture tells us, because that made no sense to them. Wait, why is it better for us that you go, Jesus?
Yeah.
You know, we want you. We need you. This isn't what we signed up for. We've been, you know, walking with you and, you know, being discipled by you for 3 years, and now you're just going to leave. Like, we need you to do this. Mm-hmm. Right. So they're thinking about the kingdom work they're going to go do. And they're saying, Jesus, we need you to do this. And he's saying, well, you're going to have me. You're just going to have my spirit. And so you're no longer reliant on my physical presence. Now my spirit is going to take up residence in you and give you everything you need to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
And so he's preparing them for this. And then, you know, one of the last things he says is wait. Right? He says, wait here in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come. Mm-hmm. Do not go try to spread the gospel without the Holy Spirit. Don't do it. Don't do it on your own.
Yeah.
And thank God they waited, right? I mean, sometimes I think about what if they hadn't waited? Because as we all know, the disciples weren't the most reliable crew, right? Mm-hmm. They denied Jesus. They slept through, you know, his weeping in the Garden of Gethsemane. Like, they didn't always do the right thing because they're human like us, right? Mm-hmm. So what if they hadn't waited? What if they had tried, like you said, they had big plans, they had big dreams, they had things they wanted to do for God. They wanted to go tell people about God, and they were just too excited to wait. Mm-hmm. And they went and tried to do that in their own strength.
Yeah.
Right. We wouldn't have Christianity now if they tried to go do that in their own strength. Right. Totally. So they waited to do their kingdom work until they had the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So the Holy Spirit comes, falls at Pentecost, fills the disciples and the 120 in the upper room, and tribes of every nation are there, and tongues are being spoken in everybody's native language. And so now, you know, the whole world is hearing the gospel in their own language. And then the disciples went out filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. They went out to do the kingdom work that you're talking about.
Yeah.
but they did it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus's instructions are the same to us now throughout the New Testament. You know, don't try to go live the Christian life or be a witness for Christ or parent your kids in the gospel. Mm-hmm. Don't try to do any of that without the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you can, but it's not going to do much, right? You need the Holy Spirit. So we are called to, it's incredible kingdom work, but our whole mission here is to glorify God and make the good news of Jesus known, right? But if we try to do that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, that's where we get in trouble.
Oh, so good. So good. And so true. I know one of the things that people struggle with a little bit is hearing from the Holy Spirit. Like we're often wondering, okay, is that just me or is that him? And I think that's gotten to us kind of in a weird, almost a weird spot, honestly, in the last year, even of like, do I follow a feeling or do I do what I believe God is calling me to, even though it might look different than another believer, if that makes sense. Yeah. I feel like we're having to make a lot of decisions and a lot of us are coming to different answers, even though we have both have the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And so I guess my question is just like, how do we trust the Holy Spirit when we are feeling like we're getting a different response than somebody else who is also claiming to have the Holy Spirit and getting something different?
Oh yeah. Oh, I am feeling this in my life right now for sure.
Yeah.
Totally feeling this. It's a really good question. And I've actually said to somebody recently, how can two people who are both seeking the Holy Spirit be hearing different things or feeling different things? Right. And so one of my friends always talks about just the significance of peace, that the Holy Spirit brings peace, that there is a peace that is not worldly. It's a peace that you just know settles on your soul when this is the Lord saying, you know, this is the way, walk in it. And so sometimes for me, that means there needs to be more waiting, that the next step needs to be taken in agreement. And so what confuses our understanding or the voice of the Holy Spirit? So our own motives, our own ambitions can get in the way, our own desires, our own sin, all those things can impede our ability to be led by the Holy Spirit, hear from the Holy Spirit. I think for me, one of the really important things is that we always have to test what we sense with what the Word of God says.
Yeah.
That's like the number one thing. Like the Holy Spirit cannot contradict himself. And since he inspired and authored scripture, any voice or any word he will use with you now cannot contradict the inherent, you know, infallible Word of God. And so if somebody comes to you with a word that does not align with scripture, then you know that's not the Holy Spirit. And so peace is a big one. Aligning it with the Word of God is a big one. Does it glorify Jesus? That's another one for me. So, you know, Jesus said, literally, he said, he will glorify me. And he was speaking about the Holy Spirit, that ultimately the Holy Spirit's whole goal is to bring glory to Jesus, to say, look at Jesus, eyes on Jesus, follow Jesus. I'm making you like Jesus. And so if I feel the Holy Spirit nudging me to go say something to somebody or to post something or to act in a certain way, the question for me is, does this glorify Jesus? With these words, and that doesn't mean we don't speak truth and love, right? Those things go together. Truth is important and love is important, right? Yeah. That was Jesus's communication style. But if it doesn't align with that and it wouldn't glorify Jesus, then it's probably not the Holy Spirit encouraging me to say that thing or do that thing. And then outside of that, it's really just knowing his voice, right? Like a friend of mine was like, we really are trying to figure out if we're supposed to buy this dog. And I was like, yeah, there's no Bible verse about whether or not to buy the dog. Right. So that's hard. Cause it's like, well, I can't align it with the Word of God. There's nothing in it about, right. So then we wrestle with these decisions that we might laugh about, but sometimes they feel big to us, right? Whatever you're dealing with. And you're just saying, Holy Spirit, I want to be led by you in every area of my life. I want every decision that I make, big and small, to be guided by you. And yet I'm not going to find a specific verse in scripture. And I'm not, you know, there's certain things that just aren't going to be that simple. So then what? And I think about when Jesus said, you know, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. And the voice of Jesus is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And so it's about being in relationship. And that goes back to your point of, we want the practical steps. I want the practical steps. I want six boxes to check. All right. Yeah. Now I'm living in the power of the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah.
I flipped this switch. I read that verse. I said that prayer. Okay. Now the Holy Spirit's power is activated in me and I'm living in it. It's not that simple, right? It's because God is a God of relationship. not of box checking. Yeah. And so it's really about do life with me, abide in me, know my character, know my voice, mm-hmm. and I will lead you and I will guide you and I will direct you in the path of righteousness. Mm-hmm. So it's really about that relationship piece. Now, are there things that scripture is clear about that we need to be doing in order to be empowered by the Holy Spirit? Yeah, we need to repent. Yeah. We need to abide. We need to submit, right? These are things that play a significant role. And I outline all of these in the book. They all play a significant role in the Holy Spirit's presence and power being activated in our lives, right? So that mm-hmm. we're not grieving him. We're not quenching him. We're not putting out that holy fire. So yeah, we do play a role, but so much of it, even the stuff we just talked about, like abiding, repenting, yeah. you know, repenting can feel like a strong word for people, but really it just means turning away from the thing that keeps us from intimacy with God. Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, all these things are very relational because at the end of the day, God wants our heart and he knows that all the good stuff we'll do will flow from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's so good. And one of my questions was, you know, how do we really cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit? Cause I mean, he is his own person. Is that even possible to, you know, have separate relationships with all parts of the Trinity? Like I'm just curious, can and how do we cultivate a relationship with him specifically? What's worked for you?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, even though they are equal and they share the same essence and they say that share the same character, right? They are, mm-hmm. and this is important. They are inseparable mm-hmm. and they work inseparably.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like 1/3 and 1/3 and 1/3 equals one. No, right, it's right. 1 × 1 × 1 equals one. Mm-hmm. We cannot separate them. And yet they do play very distinct functions in our lives. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the function of the Holy Spirit is distinct from the function of the Son and the function of the Father. And so how do we grow in relationship with the Holy Spirit? I mean, one of the primary ways is through the Word of God. You cannot grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit without being in the Word of God. We are filled with the Spirit of God to the extent that we are in the Word of God, mm-hmm. Because he wrote it and he illuminates it. He's a great Bible teacher. We can open the Bible and say, hey, Holy Spirit, you inspired this. And now I need you to illuminate it for me. Teach me. What does this mm-hmm. mean? What application does it have for my life? Yeah. And so the Word of God is essential to that because there are false spirits. There are, you know, evil spirits. And so we need to be able to decipher, is this the Spirit of God or is this a different spirit that is trying to lead me away from the Father? Mm-hmm. And so the Word of God is really important. But, you know, people said, well, can I pray to the Holy Spirit? Of course you can talk to the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is God. It's God's Spirit. Mm-hmm. So Holy Spirit, come this morning, fill me afresh. You know, in the book of Ephesians, Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is actually a command and it is meant to be done daily. Mm-hmm. So you receive the person of the Holy Spirit at salvation, but then we are commanded to be filled afresh with the power of God, with the presence of God, with the provision of God. And so that's a daily prayer. Holy Spirit, come and fill me this morning. Fill me with your power. Fill me with your love. Where do you need the Holy Spirit today? Do you need his comfort? Do you need his counsel? Do you need his advocacy? Do you need him to be championing some gifts that God's put in you that you're afraid to put to good use? Like these are all things that the Holy Spirit was given to you to do. And so we need a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit every day. We need him to fill us afresh with the power of God.
Yeah. I almost kind of like a picture of like opening up the curtains in the morning and just having like the light flooding in and you're able to see so much clearer. And I don't know, it just a little bit of an image of,
I love that.
Opening
I love
up some curtains. Yeah.
Yeah. And let the light come in. Right.
Yeah. That's right. That's right. Well, one last question before we go into our kind of conclusion here, what hope do you have for us right now because of the Holy Spirit?
Thinking about just the other day when I was driving and just having a very honest conversation with God about some hopelessness in my life in a certain area and just having a very honest conversation about how I felt. And, you know, for me, those are times when I have to trace his faithfulness through scripture and through my own life to remember that he is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but the enemy wants us to despair. And I will tell you that in that conversation, in that pouring out of words and tears and had worship on in the car, that I was filled afresh with the hope of God. that I went to God hopeless and the Holy Spirit supernaturally filled me with hope. Mm-hmm. Nothing changed in my circumstances, but it's like I called down the power of God in that car, the hope of God. I mean, scripture says, you know, the Holy Spirit makes hope abound in us. That is one of, he brings joy. He makes joy bubble up in us, but he does make hope abound in us. And, you know, people can get awkward around the word supernatural, but the truth is everything about the Christian life is supernatural.
Yeah.
Everything. Mm-hmm. God became man and dwelt among us. That's supernatural. Yeah. Yeah. Jesus was crucified. He lived a sinless life, was crucified, and was raised from the grave. That's supernatural. Mm-hmm. Jesus was taken up into a cloud. Like, that's supernatural, right? Yeah. And then his Spirit comes and lives in us to do things on our behalf that we can never do on our own. That is supernatural. Mm-hmm. So of course he's still doing supernatural things in our life all the time.
Yeah.
And so he can make hope abound in us where there is no reason from a worldly perspective to have hope. And so it's just an encouragement to open the Word of God and to look at where scripture says he makes us abound in hope. He makes God's love real to us. Mm-hmm. And so wherever it is in your life that you need hope, is it, you know, in the pandemic, is it in parenting? Is it in a marriage? Is it in a relationship? Is it with your parents? Is it whatever, you know, is it in, you know, the calling on your life or job loss, wherever you need hope, the Holy Spirit can make hope abound in you, even when your circumstances aren't changing, because God is good and God is faithful. Yeah. Wherever you need hope, he is able to make hope abound where it doesn't make sense otherwise.
Yeah. Well, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Jeannie. This has been amazing.
Welcome.
Really enjoyed this.
Thank you.
We have a few more questions. They're kind of quick wrap up questions. Because we're faith school, we like to ask about what are some resources that you would recommend to us about this topic. And of course, your book being one of them, I'd love it.
I would recommend that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would recommend Don't Miss Out, because writing it changed my life. I mean, and I love having this conversation with you because I can't believe how much I missed out on for so long.
Yeah.
That I'm 46 now. So but I just discovered the significance of the Holy Spirit probably in the last 3 years. And so you think about that, if I put my trust in Jesus at 8,
right.
How much I've missed out on. And yet it doesn't mean he hasn't been at work in my life. It doesn't mean he hasn't been at work on my behalf, right? Mm-hmm. Just because we're not aware of his presence doesn't mean he's not doing what he was sent to do, but there's so much more.
Yeah.
If we will welcome his presence and lean into his activity, there's so much more. Totally. So, I have a new Bible study coming out called Never Alone. It's about the Holy Spirit. It's the subtitle is Parenting and the Power of the Holy Spirit. Ooh. So I take everything from Don't Miss Out and then help us look at how we apply that to our parenting and how we introduce our kids to the person of the Holy Spirit. And I've read some incredible books. Francis Chan wrote a great book on the Holy Spirit, very simple, called Forgotten God, really powerful. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, those are some resources. I have a couple of devotions. I have a 5-day devotion on my website.
Awesome.
So you can download that for free. It's actually on the YouVersion app. So just a quick, introduction to the Holy Spirit that you can read. And Catherine Marshall wrote a beautiful book years and years and years ago about the Holy Spirit as well. So I can give you, I guess you do links to those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll find it and put it in there.
Billy Graham wrote an amazing book about the Holy Spirit. Some great resources out there that will help you. And of course, scripture. I would encourage anybody who just wants to go, I want to know more about the Holy Spirit. Where should I start in scripture? Start in John 14. John 14, 15, 16. Read those chapters where Jesus himself is telling the disciples who the Holy Spirit is and who he will be for them once Jesus returns to the Father. Really powerful stuff just in those few chapters.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for that. Next one is, what is a spiritual practice or discipline that has been really life-giving to you right now?
Worship.
Mm-hmm.
Worship. I've always been, when I am heavy-hearted or discouraged or whatever, I just have to worship. I have to sing to my family's, discomfort. I have to sing loud in the kitchen, in the car. I have to declare what I know is true, even when the enemy wants me to believe it's not. And worship really helps reset me in my heart, realign my heart with God's. So that's what it is for me.
I love that. My husband and I, we have kind of adopted that practice whenever something happens that really grieves us. We actually, we're not great singers either, but we sing the doxology together.
Oh, and, that's beautiful.
You know, it's just really simple.
Wow.
You know, but it just kind of recenters and just a reminder that, you know, God's with us and that he's for us and that he's still worthy of our worship no matter what has happened. So that's just something really simple that we've
done. I love that. Mm-hmm.
All right. Next one is, if you could assign one piece of homework to my listeners, what would it be?
I think it would be to read John 14, 15, 16.
That's good.
I mean, I would love for you to read the book. Cause I really think that you will discover a lot of people who've been walking closely with the Holy Spirit have said, I can't even describe how much vibrancy it's brought back into my faith.
Yeah.
So it's 30 short chapters. A lot of people do them as devotionals in the morning. But at the end of the day, there's nothing like the Word of God, nothing. Yeah. And anything I wrote came from the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So I would encourage you to just read those chapters slowly and just really look at what Jesus said about who the Holy Spirit is, because if you're afraid you can't trust him, you know, Jesus said you can trust him. Jesus said you need him. Yeah. So if you trust Jesus, you can trust the Holy Spirit.
That's right. Oh, and I will say too, before my last one, I really loved your book. I read it from cover to cover and thoroughly enjoyed it and felt very, very encouraged. So I just want to affirm that it is an excellent resource, and we will make sure that we link that as well as John 14. I'm going to have to go read that again because I can't think of which one it is. But yeah, is there anything else that you would want to share with us before you take off?
You know, I guess I would just leave this last piece of encouragement that life really is better with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's why the subtitle is Daring to Believe It Is. Cause I sometimes think because we've heard so much misinformation about him, I think we're afraid of what he'll do or what he'll make us do. So it's just really a dare to dare to believe that life is so much better when we're walking in step with the Holy Spirit. You won't be disappointed.
Yeah. So good. Thank you so much, Jeannie, for being on here. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much to Jeannie for coming on here. This is not a simple topic to cover because there's so many different ideas about the Holy Spirit, but our relationship to him is so crucial to the work that we are going to do for the kingdom. So I want you to grab a copy of her book, Don't Miss Out, because it is really good. Like I mentioned in the show, I've read it cover to cover and it's a really great book. So make sure you grab a copy wherever you buy books or through the link in our show notes. Next episode, we have Rebecca Friedlander on the show to talk to us about spiritual disciplines, something that we cover fairly frequently, and we've done quite a number of shows on this and always ask about spiritual disciplines at the end of the show, but we actually go down some roads that we've never covered before here on Faith School, so it is super fascinating, and I think that you're really going to enjoy it. If you want to catch me on the socials, you can find me at leah.rempel or at Faith School Pod on Instagram or in our Facebook group, Faith School. I am happy to continue serving you on those platforms. Thank you for spending a little time with us today at Faith School and I68 Ministries. We are praying that you feel fully surrendered today to the God who made you, loves you, and wants to partner with you. Class is now dismissed. Go out there and reveal his kingdom.